I've been working with entrepreneurs who are seriously working their ass off, working from early in the morning till late at night, and they don't stop, and they want to make the money, and they feel like that if you don't work all the time, you're not going to create the business or the revenue that you want. You got into this entrepreneur thing because you want to create financial freedom, but you also want to create life freedom. I get it. You need to go to cashflowtoceo.com. I teach simple and proven strategies that work, how to create a rock solid client attraction formula that brings in quality leads, how to provide value the smart way so you can turn cold leads into paying clients faster. I help you learn what kind of value you need to give, how to price your products, how to be confident in selling your products. If this sounds like something that can help you, go to cashflowtoceo.com or click the link in the show notes. I'll see you there. There are millions of women in business that are crushing it. And I mean, seriously crushing it. Some who you know and many who you've never even heard of. They're going to share how they did it so you can figure out how you can do it too. But here's the deal. It's not just about sales and selling. So I'm going to be bringing you the woo too. Get ready, get set, because it's almost go time for Women Crush Wednesday. Hello, hello, and welcome to Woman Crush Wednesday. I know you're crushing it because you are here and you pressed play. And I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host of this segment. I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. And today is an amazing day because we have such an awesome episode on Seller Dies Woman Crush Wednesday. Our guest today is Erin Gargan King. She's the author of Digital Persuasion, Sell Smarter in the Modern Marketplace. Ooh, you guys, she is freaking awesome. She's totally crushing it. I have known her since 2016. Erin is freaking awesome. I am so honored to even know her. I mean, the way she reached out, the way we met is such an unbelievable story. And the one thing I can tell you about it is that this girl has balls. She has moxie. She's a risk taker. She's not afraid to reach out to someone and get rejected. It's such a cool story. You're just going to have to listen. Let's talk about how we first met.
Okay. Do you want me to tell it?
Yeah, you tell it.
Okay. So as you heard in the beginning of the podcast, my first job in sales, they didn't give us any training. They just gave us the phone book and said, good luck. So I read Jeffrey Gittimer's book, Little Red Book of Selling, dog-eared it, underlined it, used his principles. And I have this sort of game that I play because digital persuasion is sending great messages to ideally open real dialogue with people that maybe don't know you or don't care about you. And so I like to make sure that I can test myself and challenge myself. So whenever I go to a new city, I try to find the most interesting, important, influential, cool people that don't know me, don't care about me, and see if I can send a message that will get them to agree to meet with me. It's like a little challenge. And I have this whole list of interesting people. So when I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina with my husband for a year for some work stuff, I looked up notable people in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Jennifer Gluckow and Jeffrey Gittimer came up, and I'm like, oh my God, that's the dude whose book helped me get all my sales in the beginning of my career. No way. I Googled you guys and I stalked you in a very appropriate way. And I wrote a message, personal, useful, brief message, my method, pub method that I teach people, open something personal, offer useful, keep it brief, and just said, I would love to meet you guys and just, you know, see if we can collaborate or just share ideas. I just really want to thank you for how much you both have influenced my journey. And sure enough, you guys answered.
Wait, so pause for a second. During that time before we answered, Jeffrey's like, who is this person? Like, should we meet her? Like, what's going on? Who, you know, because he gets a lot of requests for meetings.
Of course.
And
right.
So I'm like, I don't know. Let me check her out. So I literally, I'm going to use your term, stalked Erin appropriately. And in a, we should coin that like hashtag appropriate stalking.
And hashtag I was no like, creeps.
Yeah,
no creeps.
Exactly. And I was like, well, she's the real deal. Like, she has really cool things to say. She's creating interesting content. I think we should meet with her.
So we met at Einstein's Bagels.
Yeah.
And just, you know, hit it off immediately. And we've only hung out a couple times in real life, but because of social, which has obviously tons of positive, tons of negative, this is a positive, we have managed to kind of feel like we've stayed in touch because of Instagram.
Oh, 100%.
And you're really cute dogs.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple things worked there that I want to break down for our listener, which is number one, you were ballsy enough to reach out to someone you didn't know. And that's a really cool game. I may have to start trying it myself. We should come up with a name for this game. That's number one. Number two, you have a specific method with how you reached out. So can you break down the pub method in more detail?
Yes. So first is personal.
Okay.
This is where the stalking comes in. Appropriate, hashtag appropriate stalking. So if you think about like if you're going through your inbox, you know how you're just kind of scrolling through and most things, you don't even know why your brain is ignoring it or deleting it. You just don't open it or don't engage. And you don't really know why. It's just kind of subconscious. So one thing that stops the scroll is if you lead with a word, typically a proper noun, so a person, place, or thing with a name that is personal to your recipient. So a person you know in common, a place you have in common, something you have in common, or a person, place, or thing that you can comment on. Either one works. So you just lead with that with a question mark. And what it does is it has them stop their scroll because you've said Charlotte, or Einstein's Bagels, or King Charles Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Whatever, something about Jen.
If
you know,
anyone emails me with like Blenheim Cavalier, because that's the next one I want to get, I would definitely stop the scroll.
Right, because you're obsessed with Cavaliers, right?
And exactly. Like,
songs in the world. So it's something that, again, it's not going to make you best friends. Like Jen wouldn't be like, oh my God, this person and I are now best friends
because
she's like Cavalier. No, that's not the goal. The goal is just that you're not like, hi, Jennifer. I was wanting to reach out because I blah, blah, blah. You sort of sound different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's something personal that stops the scroll. So I think for Jeffrey and you, I think I wrote something about, oh, I wrote, imagine your book, dog-eared, underlined, highlighted in the middle of Baltimore City on the floor of my car. And probably just that opening phrase of imagine your book like just destroyed guys' attention, right?
I want to hear more.
So, well, actually, we'll come back to that.
Okay.
So I did actually try one of Jeffrey's tactics, and I sold television advertising, a $10,000 television advertising package on a PowerPoint to an Amish man who did not have a television and owned a roadside market where they sold furniture, using the tactics in that book.
Oh, wow. So, that's really cool. Insane.
It's legit.
Wow, anyway, that's insane.
So that's the open, right? So then you go to useful, and useful is offering something that's useful to that person. Now, you don't have to solve their life's problems, okay? Because I don't know all of Jennifer and Jeffrey's problems.
Nor do you want to.
But sometimes something useful, you know, a lot of times on the internet, I don't know about you, Jen, but sometimes it makes us feel bad about ourselves because we're comparing ourselves to other people's success, or there's always someone on Instagram that is like skinnier, prettier, richer, better life, bigger house, bigger dog, whatever. And so sometimes what's useful could just be offering a very specific, intentional, genuine compliment to that person that just makes them feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that can be useful. You know, and so I think that's what I used with you and Jeffrey was, I think I wrote something like, you know, you can't imagine, you know, the impact that your book had on my life. I had no training. I didn't know what I was doing. I was driving around in Baltimore City in my car. I mean, it was like The Wire. I was like afraid for my life. I didn't know what I was doing. And I had my little book and I was like, we can do this book, you know? And I wrote this whole thing about like, and now I'm on this path. And I swear it was because of the combo of that really gnarly first job and then your advice. And so I just kind of gave a very specific, not like, your stuff is great.
Or right.
Like, love your book.
Well, that's
right?
So like, generic. Yeah. I think like when someone emails me and they're like, oh, just like a generic thing, like, I read an article you wrote and I really like it. And here's now how I think we can work together. I'm like, did you even read my article? Or do you send that to every single person who writes articles, you know, versus the person who's like, this book, you know, transformed my life and here's how, or like, you know, I read that article and I love the thing you talked about when you mentioned X, Y, Z. And then I'm like, oh, they really read the article because I didn't even remember writing about it.
And you're like, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, I said that. Right.
No wonder you like that article. That is some good stuff.
But, you know, you can really tell the difference between someone who's authentic and genuine about it and just someone who's giving you like a script kind of, you know, templated letter.
It's so true. And, you know, I get messages just like you on LinkedIn all the time. People are like, I love your work. And I'll write back and say, which part?
Yep. I call them out too.
I never write back. And I'm like, that's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And so what's the last part, the B?
Oh, last part is brief. Just the fact that because we don't type like we talk, we tend to just write way too much. We tend to repeat ourselves. I mean, you're a writer, I'm a writer, so we're guilty of this as well. But, you know, whatever you write, whether it's an email or a post, you want to make sure it's less than one scroll. You want to make sure everything you're saying is necessary to the narrative, to moving it forward. We tend to repeat ourselves, talk in circles. It's almost like we're writing in our diary or something. Our inhibitions are lowered and we tend to kind of overshare. That's why you see things that are TMI on social media, people getting in huge political Facebook fights, and religious discussions, because people are uninhibited behind the screen. And there's all kinds of scientific reasons for that. But it's something that you want to be aware of, is that we tend to over communicate. So if you're having a fight with a friend, don't write the 5-scroll text, right? At that point, if it's more than a scroll, that probably should be a phone call. So you want to keep it really short, as brief as possible.
You just made me think of something. Have you been to CVS lately?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you gotten a receipt when you pay?
Yes.
Their receipts are like miles long. And I just thought of like, don't be a CVS receipt. Like when you're writing an email.
I mean, you can make a dress out of those things.
I know.
Like 5 feet long.
How do they go? They must go through a lot of paper.
And in 2019, people love green.
I know. Not good.
Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
Yeah. Okay, I love that method. Now let's say you connect with the person, or like, what if they don't connect with you? Let's go there first. So like, if you don't hear back, what's your method? Do you keep reaching out or?
Well, I'm actually teaching a lot more of not reaching out directly one-to-one, but doing more of the legwork up front with relationship building. So I'm actually steering my people away from one-to-one outreach in their inbox, which I think more and more can feel a little bit too personal if you don't know someone.
Yeah.
You know, our inboxes are kind of like, you know, when someone comes to your house and you give them a tour and you kind of go by your bedroom, you're like, and this is the bedroom. And okay, it's kind of awkward because everyone knows what happens there, right?
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, okay, next room. But it's kind of a personal, private place. And that's kind of how I think our inboxes are a little bit, you know, and people, you know, unless they've invited you to send them information, unless they've, you know, asked you to connect with them, sometimes the straight up inbox message can be a little too intimate too soon. So what I've been teaching more is personal and useful and brief, but doing that more in the form of commenting on other people's content. So even if they've shared an article or they've updated their profiles or they've maybe sent out some kind of a marketing email or just whatever footprint they're leaving online, wherever they are that they've put out there and said, hey world, hey internet, I'm cool with whoever's out here engaging with this. I found that kind of starting there and just high-fiving people, again, not the 100 emoji, not the crazy emoji, you know, not just you rock, all this generic stuff, which I drop you those kinds of, because we actually know each other. So
right,
it's fine. It's
exactly.
Love the dog, move yeah. on, you know, but I'm not trying to like, we know each other. So it's, I'm not trying to open this relationship from the very beginning. So in the beginning, again, not in a creepy way, but you know, dropping sort of like thoughtful comments. I mean, typically what I say is start with what you love specifically, like you mm-hmm. said earlier, about the piece of content. And then asking a follow-up question that is actually building on that. And so, you know, how you are in real life at a networking event, you just start a dialogue. And so what I've done is I create these systems because it's not just random acts of commenting. It's a systemized approach to attraction. And so if you start to really spend time thinking about your system around your pulling versus always your system around your pushing, which we know 1 out of 10 will definitely bite. But those 9 people that didn't bite could have been a missed opportunity that could have been people maybe that might have leaned forward a little bit more if you had spent the time, you know, kind of sprinkling this goodness throughout the internet. And so that's kind of what I'm teaching more these days, is to start there before you even attempt to reach out. You're really trying to attract sort of the interest back and kind of invoke that reciprocity.
Yeah, no, I love that. And you said you have a system. Is that what you just walked us through, or is there like more to the system?
Yeah, I love alliteration and I abuse alliteration, which I just did right there, but it's called conscious custom commenting. I know it's a problem. Custom conscious commenting.
Okay.
So it's custom to the person, very specific and personalized, not like Jen, your article was great, but this point you made was fantastic.
Right.
The conscious thing is being really intentional about how you are engaging with that person. So not just drive by random acts of comments, but really thinking of them as a real living, breathing human being and really thinking about starting a genuine relationship with them. And then the commenting is kind of where it's transpiring. So evolving from inbox blasting to a more organic, natural comment engagement, because your comment section is more like your living room. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more of a general area where everyone feels comfortable sharing space.
I love that. Okay. So I'm assuming you must get the person, the skeptic person, because I know we have at least one diehard listener. I'm talking to you right now, who's saying, but my clients aren't on the internet that way. They're not leaving a social footprint. And so I can't engage with them like that. What would you say to them?
I would say if your client has zero footprint on the internet, that they are either hiding something or they are a psycho.
Yeah.
And find new clients. No, I'm just kidding.
So, but I mean, we get this all the time too, where people are like, well, my clients aren't on Instagram. My clients aren't on Facebook. I can't engage with them that way. And so what are people missing?
Well, I think if your clients aren't anywhere on the internet. I mean, if you can't find one thing on Google about your client at all, I think that you have now transported yourself back to 1990, and the only thing you can do is cold call them and pick up the phone. I mean, what else are you going to do if you can't uncover any information?
Do you
right?
think it's like a mind thing though, where they believe, like they're creating this story in their head where they actually think their clients aren't online, but they really are? Maybe. I mean, I agree.
I think it's like, you know, when you can't get into your workout class and you're like, darn it.
Yes. Well, I guess I can't work out today.
But secretly you're like, yes.
Yes.
I think you're right. I think that's probably more what it is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because in reality, you could just go to a different workout class. It's like, in reality, you could just go to a different social platform and engage with them there. So if we're talking about Instagram, because we both love it, and you're like, oh, my clients aren't on Instagram. Okay, right. Well, go check Facebook. Go check LinkedIn. Go check Pinterest. Go check Twitter.
Yeah,
YouTube.
They're somewhere. Maybe they're still in MySpace. Maybe they're in...
Does that exist?
Yahoo. Yeah. Maybe they're in Ask Jeeves. I don't know. They're somewhere.
So how do you do that en masse? Like, if you have, let's say, you know, you have this formula for sending an email, you can sort of systematize that. But how do you comment on so many people's things with such a, what was the word you used? The C word?
The
custom. Custom.
Yeah,
with such a custom.
A real mouthful.
The C word, that doesn't sound good. No, we'll go with custom. But
it's Woman Crush Wednesday.
I know. It's crushing. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Okay. But how do you make it custom so that they really want to engage back with you in an amount of time where you can do this in mass?
Right. So it's really, it's a quality over quantity approach. I mean, what I found with the people that I work with, a lot of direct selling organizations, multi-level marketing organizations. And what I found is that it is something where I call it like the high five. They're just doing five people a day. And over time, they find that anywhere from 3 to 4 of those people ultimately will follow them back, ultimately will like a post back. And it takes about the same amount of time as it would to kind of spray and pray with those 20 people and kind of copy and paste and see what sticks. So it's really just how you want to spend your time on this planet, because every hour that you're spending on social media is an hour that you're not living your life in the real world with your eyes up, enjoying the beautiful life that we have for a short time here. And so I feel that intentionality also comes in with how you want to invest that time. I mean, if you want to send out 20 messages and get 2 responses, that's your prerogative. Totally do you. What I like to look at this is that in this method of 5 people a day, for me, like, my target is meeting planners. They hire me to speak. So I have a list of 100 meeting planners, and I've curated lists of them on social media. So Twitter lists, I've cleaned up my Facebook feed so that it's primarily just these meeting planners, because people that I really love, I text on group texts and group chats.
Right.
So I've curated kind of where these people are. And what I do is I consistently have curated my feed to have these targeted people. And I'm building real relationships. And I'm not just doing drive-by random acts of commenting. And so it's something that is, I'm investing in it because A, it works a lot better. And B, you're also really, you don't know what kinds of opportunities you could really open up by treating people more like a human being, less like a number. And I always say, and people are probably going to hate this too, if they hate the whole idea of no one's on social media, but I always say, if you're still playing the numbers game, that your days are numbered.
Ooh. And I know
that that is tough to hear and tough to swallow. And look, I'm not saying it's an or. I think you need push and pull. I'm not saying it's one or the other. I think it's push and pull. But the more that I test push versus pull, you know, the knocking on digital doors versus the cultivating real relationships, I find that the pull is paying off in ways far beyond even getting these deals done, for me anyway. So, I mean, also, if you think about, I don't know if you've ever been on one of those websites where you ask a question and the robot answers and you know it's a bot and really not a person. You know what I mean? And it's like, hi, I'm Angela. And you're like, you are not Angela. You are a robot.
We were going to implement one of those. And I go, just tell them to say, hey, I'm Ro, Jen's bot.
I'm Ro, Jen's bot.
Like, let's be real. Yeah. I am not a real person.
Oh, my God. That's so good. But yeah, I mean, think about it. I mean, robots are doing brain surgery and driving cars and beating humans at poker. And I mean, they can copy and paste, you know? So it's like, what is your edge? What is the only thing that you have is your humanity. I mean, and your ability to have those empathetic exchanges.
100%. Okay. So let's talk about you. Like, what is, you mentioned you're going after, or you're targeting meeting planners. What does your day look like in terms of social media? Because I feel like that will give our diehards some sort of plan they can implement and follow.
Well, if your diehards are salespeople, like, I grew up in the sales world, so did you.
Yeah.
So our most comfortable medium is this: talking, speaking, communicating. Mm-hmm. So even though we're both writers, I'm pretty sure, I don't know about you, but for me, I would rather sit down with someone and have a face-to-face dialogue 100%. With body language.
Yes.
Right? Than having to write. And so what I'm doing is every day, I have a friend named Brian Fanzo, and he says, just press the damn button. And what I'm doing is I'm pressing the damn button, whether it's I'm going live, I'm doing videos, I'm doing video emails, I'm doing video text messages. I am trying to move away as much as possible from typing to more talking, where I know I'm a lot more persuasive and more influential. And now with our phones, we have access to an entire production studio, a distribution network. And so if you're a salesperson listening and you're like, oh, I don't know what to write, then don't. Press the damn button and share your thoughts and share your insights and your valuable perspective with your world. And don't be afraid of what you look like or what's going to happen, because the reality is people that are like, well, I don't know how I look. If you're trying to get a face-to-face meeting with someone anyway, they're going to see you look like at some point. So you might as well just start now.
And there's filters.
And there's lighting and all kinds of things. But, you know, I think people are really, really nervous about going live because so much can go wrong. You know, the reality is you're not doing brain surgery. You're just sharing ideas on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the other thing too is that we contemplate our own social media more than anyone else's. We stare at our own profiles more than anyone else's. We look at our own videos. How's everyone thinking about us? People aren't thinking that much about us as we think they are.
Yeah.
So just, you know, get over yourself. That's what I was telling myself. Get over yourself, press the damn button, and come from a place of service, and you'll start to see the medium really work harder for you.
Well, I think that's the thing. When you start to come from a place of real service, not just like, I want to serve you by selling my products, but I truly, genuinely want to help you, that desire is so much stronger, or should be so much stronger than your caringness. I don't know how else to say it, but how much you care about your looks, or is every word correct, or, you know, are you doing everything exactly right? Because what you're doing is you're putting the impact ahead of everything else, and knowing that that is the most important thing on the planet.
100%. And that's why your podcast, Sell or Die, and this Woman Crush Wednesday, and all your content is such a great attraction marketing for your business, because you're showing up consistently delivering real value. And it isn't, I mean, it sounds so simple, but you've committed to this and it works for you. And so there's no need for anyone listening to reinvent the wheel. You know, I mean, imitation is a great form of flattery, but it also works. So just try it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for the compliment in there. You know, I love the people that say something like, well, I can't go on Facebook Live because what if no one shows up? And it's like, guess what, dude or girl? Like, no one's showing up when you don't go live anyway. So right. Like, no one is going to be able to get your ideas if you don't put yourself out there.
And actually, to your point, you're probably wanting only 5 people to show up for your first couple, because it's going to be a rocky takeoff and a rocky landing. So when I first started going live, I had 5-6 people, and thank goodness, because there's no other way to figure it out than just to jump in the pool. And you know, now when I go live, I have engagement and conversations, but now I know what I'm doing. But back then, thank goodness, only 3 people, because I think we can even do more damage. So that's okay. It's part of the journey and it's part of the process. Kind of like when you first start in sales and you don't even know where to start with, who do I call? Well, you just pick up the phone and call someone.
Right,
you
just try it. What's the worst that can happen?
Right, exactly.
So I just want to, before we wrap up, because this is so much gold, you're giving amazing nuggets of wisdom. You mentioned like the 5-a-day engagement thing. Is that to new prospects? Like, what's your process there?
Well, mine is a little bit more, I have multiple goals with my 5-a-day. For my 5-a-day, mine's not really as much for sales as just for improving the quality of my social media time. So I don't know about you, but I've had a problem with my screen time getting up to like 3-4 hours a day. I once had a day that I was on Instagram for 4.5 hours.
Isn't that so scary? Cause you're like, that's 4.5 hours I could have done something really cool with.
Exactly. It's terrifying. And I don't think a lot of us even realize,
because
there's no stopping point, the endless scroll, right? Mm-hmm. And there's no, it's not like, okay, the episode's over, or, you know, it's like Netflix. It like serves you another one right away. So there's no stopping. And so that for me, like you just said, was a big wake up call, where I'm thinking to myself, gosh, all these things that I want to do, and I just lost 4 hours of my life doing what? And so what I try to do is be a little bit more intentional about what I'm taking in on social media by cutting my time down. So I have an app now that I use. It's called In the Moment. Ooh. And after 2 hours on Instagram, it cuts me off. It blacks out the app so you can't use it anymore. And it's pretty fantastic. And at first I was like a crack addict. I kept like trying to open it up again, you know. It's an interesting exercise to figure out how you're spending your time. And so what I'm trying to do is make sure, since I'm spending less time, I want to make sure that the people that I'm internalizing and the messages and the ideas and the content is really adding to my quality of life. So my five a day is that if anyone in my newsfeed is making me feel upset or anxious or depressed or comparing myself with someone that I'm not keeping up with enough in some way, and they're not like a dear friend, I just unfollow them. Mm-hmm. And I'm unfollowing five people a day that just aren't really adding to the quality of my time on this planet, and just being more intentional about that. And then what I do is I try to find five new people using hashtags, using friends of friends. If you're a salesperson, this could be a prospect list that you're looking people up. But you try to find five new people that are putting out great content, that are inspiring, that are teaching. And you'll find slowly that by sort of reinventing your feed, whatever your platform is, that you'll feel your anxiety levels go down, your depression go down, your positivity go up, and most importantly, your productivity go up, because you're not wasting time with things that are really not serving you.
Whoa, that was amazing. Erin Gargan-King brought her shit. She brought amazing strategies. She brought amazing knowledge. Wow. I am so grateful that she joined us today. I loved when we were talking about keeping it brief and not making it like a CVS receipt. Oh man, those things are so damn long. And then she talked about stopping the scroll. And I wonder, what are you doing on your Instagram or on your Facebook feed or LinkedIn or wherever you're most present, whichever platform you're most present on? What are you doing to stop the scroll, so that other people pay attention to you, so that other people want to get to know you and want to know, like, what did she eat for breakfast? Or did she go swimming while she was at the beach? Like, the silly things that you think don't really matter, but they just want to know because they want to get to know you as a person. It's so interesting because I thought Erin and I were connected on Instagram, and I went to like go look at her last few posts, and I realized we weren't following each other. Like, WTF, here's a person I love and we're not even following each other. So I immediately hit that follow button, and then we each did the same thing. Like, we each went on each other's posts and did a lot of comments and did a lot of likes and all that, because we genuinely want to support each other. And I wonder, like, who do you have in your network that you are genuinely supporting like that, or that's genuinely supporting you? And what kind of content are you creating? Are you saying to yourself, oh, I'm just a salesperson, I don't need to create content like that? Seriously? Yes, you do. If you want to create digital persuasion in today's marketplace, if you want to get more and more people to want to work with you, to make them want to buy whatever it is you're selling, you need digital persuasion, and you need to follow these methods that Erin has talked about. Now, on another note, I'm at the beach this week and I have committed to playing tennis every single day. And so when I commit to something, it happens. And so this morning I was exhausted, but I got my ass on the court, and my amazing tennis instructor, did you know that where we're at Wild Dunes, their tennis program here is ranked as the world's third best tennis program, like in the world. Isn't that cool? Anyway, so my tennis instructor, Tori, said something just in the moment while I was on the court, and she said, you're wasting energy by doing too much and too many little steps when you could be taking bigger steps. Ooh, I literally had to stop hitting the ball, and I said, hold on, I need to write that down. And I ran to my phone to write that down, because that's so freaking good. And I want you to think about right now, where are you wasting energy? Where are you doing too many little things that really you need to be doing the bigger things that may even be taking up less energy, but the bigger things that are going to propel you forward at an accelerated pace? Okay, this gets even better. Then she said, Jen, just trust your movement and always keep your head forward. And I was like, whoa, this is about life. This isn't just about tennis. So I want you guys, I'm going to say it again because I want you guys to really hear this and think about it for this week. Tori said, you're wasting energy by doing too much and too many little steps. So what are the things you can be removing from your life? What are the things that you really need to just like stop doing because they're not your zone of genius? They're not the things that you need to be focused on so that you can take bigger steps. Propel yourself forward. Until next time, I'm Jen Glackow, and I'm reminding you to go crush it.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.